So the Advent season, of course, is when we prepare for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Of course, we have infinite reminders of Christmas all around us, don't we? We see Santa, who moves remarkably quickly from place to place, sometimes even with wardrobe changes. We see lights, we see decorations, we have parties. We bake and clean and bring in supplies of food and drink. We prepare in countless ways. And we come to church today, on this first Sunday of Advent, expecting to hear in our scripture readings about Mary and Joseph, maybe. Or maybe an infant John the Baptist. We're looking for a quick pre-Christmas fix. We have so much to do and so little time. But instead, a hasty pass through our readings leaves us in despair. It seems that we have a gospel reading from Mark that talks about the end of the world, about Armageddon. So still looking for overt signs of joy and happiness and new birth, we move to the reading from the book of Isaiah. But we might be disappointed there too, because we hear of our own unbelief and even anger with God. There's no one who calls on your name, Isaiah says, or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Well, maybe the psalm. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people? You fed them with bread of tears, and you have given them bowls of tears to drink. Maybe the reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. Now Paul tells them that they have everything they need spiritually and that they're ready for action as Christians. Now that sounds more like it. And then we remember that he continues for the next 15 chapters correcting the errors of faith of the Corinthians. And maybe us too. And so we sigh in despair. No visions of sugar plums are dancing because of these readings. The modern ear finds them hopeless. But back to the gospel reading. At first, it sounds over the top, the end times when Jesus will return to the world. It's not fashionable these days to think about end times, is it? And the idea of stars falling and the sun disappearing just sounds ridiculous. Science tells us that that won't happen in our generation, even though it seems that Jesus said it will. And that stuff about Jesus coming in clouds and the angels gathering up the elect from the corners of the earth? My poor science-driven mind is aching. But then I give my head a shake. Wait a minute. I don't know about you, but I don't come to church expecting to hear mundane scientific facts. I don't expect to hear some trite social media posts about Jesus or about weather back in the day. I come for guidance, for reassurance, for a vision of how things can be. To be able to see that vision, to be reassured, to receive guidance from the scriptures, and to receive guidance from our life together in this community, we need to allow our imagination some free rein. Otherwise, we will forever be stuck in analysis paralysis. But it's more than our imaginations. We need to be able to clear our preconceived notions about the way the world works. To have some hope, we need to be self-emptying of our thoughts about our status, our position, and our privilege, so we can see a better way, and so we can be inspired by the Holy Spirit and feel it working within us. Now, I suspect that many of us know that minor tweaks won't change the way the world works today. The gospel offers us an impossible possibility, a reality that transcends the everyday reality Theologian David Lowe says this: the gospel presents a truth that is deeper than all else. A truth that is deeper than all else we have been told is true. A story that stretches beyond and encompasses all our stories so as to give them meaning, integrity, and purpose. And so these readings from Isaiah, the Psalm, and the gospel describe the sort of radical changes that need to happen in the world around us. They're world-shaking, disruptive changes. Last week, we heard about welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, healing the sick, visiting those in prison. All those things, of course, are about loving our neighbors. We are gathered here to ask for that change. We want Jesus to come back now, to create a new place where justice, peace, and freedom exist for all. But we need to be patient. We can be sure that Jesus will return. But in our consumer society, it's not very fashionable to be patient these days, is it? Feels like we need action today. We might say that Jesus needs to show himself to us now on our terms. And if he's going to show himself to us now, it seems then that we would feel great because we would be sure that we're one of the elect. After all, here we are in church, one of the elect that we heard about in the gospel. It would be so much easier if he came today. But I suspect that it is precisely in the waiting that we turn ourselves into the elect. Or more ominously, it might be in the waiting that we turn ourselves into the non-elect. Depending on how we use the gifts that God has given us and act upon the teachings that we heard from Jesus. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians that they, and we, have the skills and ability we need to usher in the kingdom, that kingdom we heard about in the gospel. We've received God's amazing grace. We've been given knowledge of Jesus and have been given the gift of speech so that we will be able to proclaim and give testimony to that knowledge. But we want the wait to be over. We must trust that Jesus, God, will show up. And we too must act. We must act. Because when we say that we want Jesus to come, it is also us making a commitment to welcoming Jesus and to following his ways of love and peace, of loving our neighbor, of loving God. The sort of earth-changing moments described in our readings today need to be watched for. Jesus says, "Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come." We need to embrace those moments, not hide from them or deny them, and not become complacent about our calling as Christians, as perhaps the Corinthians did. Or else he might find us asleep when he comes suddenly. So during Advent, we prepare to celebrate Jesus coming into the world. And we, perhaps in our foolishness, try to time everything down to the last minute as Christmas approaches. But we need to watch for Jesus coming into the world in many ways, at many times, on his time, not ours. Maybe he's here right now. Maybe he's sitting beside you. As Paul said, we're not lacking in any spiritual gift. We're ready to go. And Jesus tells us what to do. Keep awake.